Even here in the environmentally conscious Bay Area, most food isn't farm to table. It's farm to processor, to distributor, to wholesaler, to retailer, to you, the consumer, and only then to your table. But more and more, shoppers want to know about this process and ultimately about where their food comes from.
I guess I do have a question about the chicken, if you could just tell us a little bit more about it.
The chicken is a heritage breed, woodland-raised chicken that's been fed a diet of sheep's milk, soy, and hazelnuts.
Okay, this is local?
Yes, absolutely.
I'm going to ask you just one more time, and it's local?
It is.
Is that USDA organic or Oregon organic or Portland organic?
It's just all across the board, organic.
The hazelnuts, these are local?
How big is the area where the chickens are able to roam free?
I'm sorry to interrupt. I have exactly the same question.
4 acres.
Even though that restaurant scene from the TV show Portlandia is a bit over the top, elements of it are commonplace in high-end Bay Area restaurants. But today, this information comes at a price, both to consumers and to farmers. How do you make locally sourced organic food more accessible while still making it profitable for farmers? That's the question that a group of food lovers and techies are teaming up to answer. KALW's Mary Willis files this story about San Francisco's food startup scene.
How was everything last week?
Good.
It's good?
Yeah.
On a Wednesday afternoon in the Mission District, a white van has pulled up to the curb and opened its doors.
I just needed eggs this week.
Just eggs?
Just eggs this week.
Good.
I know. You guys have good quality eggs for probably the cheapest price right now.
Yeah,
inside are shelves lined with bags of meat, bread, eggs, fruit, and fresh vegetables. And one by one, customers stop by, but they aren't here to browse.
Yeah.
I don't expect it to stay that way.
Well, let's hope.
Chances are you've used the internet to buy clothes, books, or gifts. It's probably less likely to be your go-to spot for apples, lettuce, or beef. And that's exactly what Good Eggs, the company that owns this van, is trying to change.
I got a lot this time.
You got a lot this week?
Yep.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. See you next week.
See you next week.
Adios.
Here's how it works. People go to the Good Eggs website and select which food they want to buy. There's all sorts of things, even baby food. It's all grown organically wherever possible, and the growers and producers are all local. Once the order's placed, Good Eggs coordinates with the farmers and food makers who deliver their products to the tech company's warehouse in the Dogpatch district. Good Eggs then either delivers the order directly to the customers, which costs about $4, or it can be picked up at vans around the city. Today, 20 to 30 people will drop past during the hour to collect their food, including Rebecca Sawyer.
Today I got eggs, bread, asparagus, strawberries, and pork chops, and walnut butter, which, I mean, you know, sounds like it might be good.
Sawyer says buying through Good Eggs is slightly cheaper than buying at organic grocery stores, though she says it's not always more convenient. But for her, it's better than the alternative.
Oh, forget it. I haven't been to a supermarket in years.
There are more and more customers thinking like Sawyer, which is why farmers' markets are blossoming across the nation. 25 markets are held each week in San Francisco alone. Still, the local food market only makes up less than 1% of food sales across the US. That could change as the tech sector gets more and more involved in the business of farming.
Okay, so imagine it's 6 p.m., you're on your way home from work, you're really tired, and all you want to do at that point is have a nice home-cooked meal for dinner.
This is Food Hackathon. In a warehouse near the Soma district of San Francisco, about 200 engineers, designers, and foodies are coming up with new ideas to build technology products and tools specifically for the food industry. The day starts out with people standing up in front of the crowd with 1 minute to pitch their idea.
So I need anyone who's opinionated about food or fun to work with me to actually get everyone addicted to leveling up from their lettuce, to be socially shamed by their friends when they forget to monitor their soil moisture and otherwise.
One of the mentors at the hackathon is Nathan Jones, who's founder of a startup called AgLocal. It connects independent farmers and ranchers directly with chefs. His in-laws are farmers in Kansas.
Just hearing their stories of how they would see their friends' names on menus, but they know that that person's really poor. But on the menu, you know, the steak's like, you know, $80 meal. It's like, but this doesn't make sense. Like, this person that I know, their name's right there. That's a poor person, but this steak is $80 on this menu. So obviously there's like a problem there.
Across the US, farmers make less than 16 cents for every dollar consumers spend on food. There are some existing models to help them make more than that. Farmers markets, for example, or community-supported agriculture subscriptions, CSAs.
Hi, I run an online farmer's market. I'm the founder.
Lauren Bass runs an online market called Lollabies. Like Good Eggs, it connects consumers with local cooks, farmers and food makers. She got into this business because she wanted to find a better way than the CSA.
You get too much food that goes to waste. You don't get a lot of variety. And you have to go pick it up from a farmer, you know, in a parking lot somewhere between 3 and 5 on a Wednesday.
And she says many consumers won't go to a farmer's market every week either.
So basically, we're giving farmers access to that group of people.
I appear to know my way around now, but, you know, the first several trips to the city here was a little intimidating.
At 6 o'clock on a Sunday morning, I join egg producer Dan Martin on his weekly deliveries around San Francisco.
Hi, I'm Dan Martin. They call me Dan the Eggman. I own and operate the Lazy 69 Ranch, which is a free-range organic egg operation with my wife and two young kids.
Martin's one of Lollabies' producers. He also supplies markets like Rainbow Grocery and Buyrite. Every Sunday morning, he gets up at 1:30 to pack his truck.
So this is Egg Force One.
Once Egg Force One is loaded up, he then makes the four-hour journey to San Francisco from his property in Northern California. His 3,000 hens produce up to 12,000 eggs each week.
You know, from a guy that earns his living, you know, an egg at a time, an expensive parking ticket is like throwing a case of eggs out the window.
Martin says selling through the startup gives him the freedom to concentrate on the farm.
Because my operation is a seven-day-a-week operation, and so I would have to be theoretically at a farmer's market every day of the week trying to sell my eggs, whereas they provide me the relief I need to focus on what I'm good at, which is raising chickens that lay delicious eggs.
Martin says he sells his eggs for the same price to each buyer, but he likes the control over his product and relationship he has with the startup as compared to a larger market.
I have no say-so or no influence on the retail price of my eggs. And so often is the case, they see the opportunity to capture profits off of our hard work and say selling our eggs, retailing them for $10 a dozen or something more than that, which is a lot of money for a dozen eggs.
Instead, Martin says selling online keeps the retail price low and allows him to sell more. He says food startups have a future.
I believe it's going to require sincere startups like Lollabies to keep farmers like me sustainable.
Back at Food Hackathon, the crowd is mingling, making connections and discussing ideas for food websites, apps and companies. So what is the next big thing for food?
What we're doing basically is investigating the potential for the use of insects in feeding the world.
Daniel Imri Sitanaiki is co-founder of a company called Tiny Farms. He says there are already companies experimenting with the use of cricket flour in protein bars, and consumers in Thailand are using insects directly in meals.
America obviously isn't really ready for that right now. But across the world, any possible way you can imagine insects being used in food, they are the same as any other type of food, basically.
Which means maybe soon you'll be able to order your snack of insects online. In San Francisco, I'm Mary Willis for CrossCurrents.